learn how to build your faith on God's Word, and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you. We honor you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. You can do better. Celebrate our King. Glory to God. The one that is too faithful to fail. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's too faithful to fail. Too faithful to forget you. Too faithful to leave you halfway. Hey, glory to God. We honor you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have worship. Amen, amen. Woo, glory. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today, I'm just going to kind of talk a bit about the blessing and move on to how it relates to our relationship with God. One of the points I won't be mentioning on Sundays, because last Sunday I started talking about activating the blessing. I'm going to round it up this coming Sunday, that's on Sunday. So, well, there's one point that I didn't mention on Sundays, but I feel I want to bring it up here. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, from verse 6 to 8. I feel this is also one of the things that is not helping some people connect, you know, so much with the things of God. Graphic designer, can you change the background? Because the way the design is, we can't even see the scripture. Thank you for your design, but it's not helping us to see the scripture. It's competing with the scripture. If it's possible to change it, fine. If it's not possible, we can manage it. This is even closer. All right. Are we there, guys? Said, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God, what? Imputed righteousness without works. So after anyway, you see blessed or blessed or whatever, always take note of it. Now next verse. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are what? Forgiven, and whose sins are what? Covered. Verse 8. He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not what? Impute sins. He's blessed. What are they saying? They're saying, blessed is the person that God is not going to charge for sin. So that person is blessed. Because the ordinary context and the ordinary concept is that, hey, when you do something wrong, when you commit sin, you will be charged. In this natural life, you will be charged for it. But they're saying, blessed is the person whom God will not impute sin. One of the things that makes us so blessed, you know, I explained on Sunday that being blessed, one of the things it kind of connotes is that you have God's goodwill and God's good deeds. You have all of God's influence and all of God's affluence. Everything God is behind you. And one of the things that always makes people feel that they don't have God's full support is when they feel they are not living right. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When people feel that they are not living up to God's standard, they kind of feel they don't have God's support. It's just natural with us as human beings. Whenever we feel we're not doing everything the right way we should do it, we kind of feel we don't have God's full support. Maybe we know He's still our God. Maybe we know He still loves us one kind. He still loves us small. But we never have that confidence that he's behind us or with us 100%. And it has robbed many people of that blessing. Because they just feel, no, I'm owing God. There's a deficit. There's a gap. But here we're seeing in scripture that man, that God does not impute sin. Not that the man does not have sin. He said they don't impute it. They don't count it. They don't charge it. They cover it. And that's exactly the stand God has for us or with us. Many people still see God as the punisher. You know, there's a movie like that, have you? The Punisher. This is how many people still see God. They look at what they say. They say God is a just God. In fact, there are many people that are campaigners, you know, for people. You know, they say they are fighting for justice most times. And they are trying to accuse another believer. They say God is a just God. And if it's a just God, he must punish sin. And this is the ideology they have. That if it's a just God, he can't let anybody get away with sin. And technically, that is true. If somebody's just, it means that he will reward the righteous and punish the unrighteous. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Now, this is important. It's important you understand what we're dealing with today, because this is how you're going to receive what God has for you. If God is a just God, definitely he needs to reward the righteous and punish the unrighteous. He needs to reward both the righteous and the unrighteous with the fruit of their deeds. So this thinking always makes people feel, oh no, you know, I'm not at the place where I can approach God. I'm not at the place where I can freely access God. Well, you need to understand. They said you are blessed when God does not impute sin. You are blessed when God doesn't charge your sin to you. You are blessed when you have the gift of righteousness. What is righteousness? It means right standing. It means before God, you are not owing. No deficit. I mean, that is amazing. As in, I don't know if you know what I'm saying. You can stand before God right now with no charge. Nothing. Somebody is still battling his mind, but there are many things. No. You see, that is what righteousness is. That is what the gift of righteousness is. Because God is a just God, he did not cancel your sin. He actually punished your sin. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Your sin didn't go free, it was punished. The difference is that he didn't charge you. They say, blessed is the man that they don't charge for his sins. Not that they didn't charge anybody. They didn't charge him. But he was still charged to somebody's account. When somebody takes you for free buffet or to take you to lunch, it's not that your food wasn't charged. It was charged to another person's card. God is a just God. So, he couldn't just come and say, Iyari has committed sins, I cancel it. That would be unjust. You get what I'm saying? It would be unjust if I cancel Iyari's own and punish some other people's own. So, what God did was that he actually came down in the person of Jesus to take the punishment. So, he actually, the sin was punished. Just that they didn't punish you. Trust me, if you understand it, you'll be happier than that. You just don't understand it, and it's okay. It takes time to get it. Your sin was punished. It's just that they didn't punish you. Jesus came down and took that punishment. And gave us what is called the gift of righteousness. The more and more you understand this, the more and more you begin to find it easier to let people go. One of the reasons why you hold on to people is that you don't understand that you too have been forgiven. Jesus shared that parable of that guy that was owing a small money and they forgive him the debt. I mean, was owing a large money rather, and they forgive him the debt. Then he went from there to go and hold somebody that was owing him smaller money and held the guy's neck that you will die today. Just trying to say, if you understood how great God's mercy is upon you, you will find it hard to hold on that person, no matter what they do. Are you here, somebody? So they say you are blessed when they don't charge you for your sin. So God is so just, he couldn't just come and cancel your sin. What he did was that he allowed somebody else to pay. And the person took the full punishment. He took the beating. You need to understand, guys. He took the beating. He took the shame. He took the rejection. He took the alienation. He took everything. And he now also went to hell. Is somebody getting this? So it wasn't just faked. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It wasn't faked. It wasn't staged. It had to be real. The flogging, the suffering, when Jesus too saw the suffering, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let's renegotiate the terms. And he wasn't joking. So it was real beating. It was real flogging. It was real dying. It was real hanging. It wasn't home video hanging. It wasn't Hollywood stage hanging. That is why it is very, I would say, annoying to God after he put his son through all that and you are still doubting his love and forgiveness for you. He's saying, what is wrong with you? It's annoying after he did all that to his son and you are still acting like you are serving punishment. You say, then they punish people now, your kind. You feed chop the punishment. You can't take it. If they start the punishment here, now you go run. Even though you volunteer yourself, say, I want to be punished. When they give you one of the stripes, you know they say, by his stripes we are healed. There were many stripes. If they give you only one, you go change your mind. So it is annoying when we still treat God as the punisher. See, one of the best ways to know God's mind, the Old Testament teaches a lot about God's character and God's mind. The New Testament teaches a lot about who we are in Christ. So you need to understand the theme of the Testaments in the Bible. There are themes. And even every book of the Bible has a theme. All right, so if you understand the spirit of that theme and you understand the spirit of God generally, there are some things that will be easier to understand and interpret. If you don't understand the spirit of it, you can misinterpret one action that was taken out of context. I know somebody's getting what I'm saying. Let me give you an example. Those of you that watch football, have you seen sometimes the defender is trying to defend the ball and mistakenly score in his own post? Now, if you don't know football, you will say, why is the guy not rejoicing that he scored? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because he just put his leg now and he kicked the ball into his net. It's a goal. It's not the kind of goal he is on the field to score. If you understand the jersey he's wearing and why he's on the field, you understand that, no, that was not. You understand that's a mistake. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. But if you're watching football as a neutral person, yeah, maybe somebody doesn't even know football, and you see a footballer just kick, but you just say, now goal now. No. It's an own goal. It's minus from his own side. I get what I'm saying? So when you understand the mind and the spirit and of God, you'll be able to interpret better some actions. If you see God killing Jesus, for instance, you'll be like, why is God killing Jesus? When you understand the general context that God is trying to kill one Jesus to save billions of Jesuses. It will make new sense to you. He was trying not to lose all of us. So one of the ways you understand God better is you check the Old Testament. They focused then a lot about God's character. The Old Testament is more about God's character. So you see that they were emphasizing God's power, you know, God's stand about certain things. So you see that God seemed harsh towards certain sins because God hates sin. But you see that in the New Testament, it wasn't so much about God's hatred for sin. It was focused more about God's love for us. And if you know what I'm saying. So you will see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Not one mention of sin in that verse. And that's the most popular. In fact, not even just popular, that's the most vital verse. This is the most important verse in the Bible. If you understand this verse, you're okay. This is the Bible summarized. See that no attention at all to sin. The emphasis of this verse is God's love for the world. Sinful world, but they didn't point that out. You know, in the Bible, when they say the world, they are talking about sin usually. The sinfulness of the world. But they didn't bother to waste time. They said God's love is the emphasis here. For God so loved, emphasis, that he gave his son, that whoso believes on him, they didn't say, and starts doing all the right things. They say, start doing the right things, because that's not important right now. God's love is the primary thing here. That if you believe in that love, you will not perish, but you have what? Everlasting. So in the Old Testament, they talked more about God's stand. In the New Testament, they talked more about us. God's love for us, God's forgiveness for us, who we are now in Christ. We are raised up together with Christ. All of that is about us. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. They are just explaining the movie. If you watch a movie that has part 1, part 2, part 3, you notice that part 1 will deal with the foundational issues. Part 2 and 3 will be dealing with the new issues coming up. Do you understand, guys? So let's go to Genesis. Genesis 1 to 3, most part of 3. Not all the parts of 3, but Genesis 1, 2, and 3 represents God's original plan. Anything contrasting Genesis 1 and 2 is not God. It's not God's plan. So in Genesis, one of the things God said there, he said, oh, there are different trees in the garden. DJ, if you can find that part for me, let him find it. He said, there are different trees in the garden. There's the tree of good and evil. Then there's the tree of life. He says, the tree of good and evil. He said, eat every other tree, but don't touch these trees. He said, the day you eat of that tree of good and evil, he said, you will surely die. Okay, see it here. Okay, it's from verse 2. He said, out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of what? Very important. Pass this side. I can see me standing here. Pass like this. Don't spoil camera. She wants to come and give me the water physically. Okay. All right. Are you following, guys? This is important, guys. Follow this, guys. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge. No, give me, go back to verse, the verse before this now. 16. I'm sitting on 16. Good. It said, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. He said, he made the beautiful trees, ones that are good for food, everything. He said, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And he said, and the tree of what? Knowledge. They didn't say the tree is of good and evil. The tree is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That means before this time, the only knowledge Adam and Eve have was good. Everything was good. This is why they could not fall sick. They didn't know that something called sickness existed. That's why they didn't even know they were naked. No shame. No evil thoughts. Do you understand? Glory to God. Wouldn't that be awesome? They didn't even have the knowledge of it. It's like children. You know, children can bathe together, boy and girl, and they're not thinking anything. That's where they are. They don't even know what you are talking about. They don't even know. No knowledge of it. Not that it's not there, but no knowledge of it. No knowledge of it at all. Now, see what God now told them. He says, next verse now. He said, and the Lord, no, I want, okay. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in this garden thou mayest freely eat. Flex. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For what? What will happen? Did he say, in the day you eat of it, I will kill you? But that's how you, if you have a religious mind, that's how you read it. That in the day you eat of it, God will kill you. No. He said, the day you eat it, you will what? So it's like me telling my child that there is rotten beans here and healthy beans here. And I said, the day you eat of this one, you shall surely have stomach upset. It doesn't mean I'm going to give you stomach upset. I'm telling you that if you eat this thing, it's going to upset your stomach. That's what God was telling them here. God was not threatening them. God was advising them. Now don't eat this thing, no. It will give you knowledge of good and evil, which is what you really don't want. You know the story? They ate that tree. And from that point, DJ, move to that point. So from that point, the Bible says when they saw God come in the garden, they went to hide. DJ, bring that point, pan up. You know the gist. So Satan convinced them to eat it. He said, and they were, no, this is not what. How did you arrive at this place? So when they saw God walking in the garden. Okay. And he said, I heard that. No, I want to where God said that, and where are you? Okay, but no need. So we know the story now. He said, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what? This is the first time fear was ever mentioned. Before this time, Adam was living with lions and tigers and crocodiles. He didn't know what fear was. He didn't even know what it meant. But for the first time, he has now gotten knowledge that some things are fearful. For the first time. Never knew about it. Playing with lion, playing with tiger. Some people say, I can't even play with small dog. There are people I know that is small dog, they will faint. But this guy was playing with lion, tiger, didn't know. But from this was the first time fear was ever mentioned. He said, and he heard the voice and I was afraid because I was what? Naked. This is information he didn't know before. And I did what? Hid myself. See what God said. God said, and he said, who told you? Ah, this is powerful. Say, who told you that you were naked? Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. You can replace this thing with any question that makes you afraid. Who told you good men are scarce? Who told you there's no money? Who told you? Who told you you can't make it in Nigeria? You see, who told you? That's what God is asking. Who told you? Let me ask your neighbor, who told you? Tell your neighbor, that thing making you afraid. Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? So as I'm getting older, I'll get sick. Who told you? You're going to die of cancer. Who told you? This country is unbearable. Who told you that? Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. God didn't say it's not true. He said, who told you? Who told you? Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. That's a whole sermon right there. Who told you? Glory to God. That if I don't sleep around, I can't prosper. Who told you? That if I don't do fraud, I can't make it. Who told you? Glory to God. That if I don't raise my kids abroad, they won't be well raised. Who told you? Hallelujah. Who told you? Who told you that? He said, hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Next verse. And the man said, the woman whom you givest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did it. For the first time, blame started. They didn't have blame. They didn't have quarrel in their marriage before. This is where LDM was born. We now needed somebody to be helping people to understand relationship, because before now, everybody understood their relationship. Before now, I'll be out of work. Next verse. Next verse. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did it. It's the work of the devil. Next verse. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Please take note. God cursed this one. He said, thou art cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field and upon all that long story. I don't care about his own issue. Next verse. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and their seed. He shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Saying, sorrow thou shalt what? Bring forth children, and thy desire shall be what? To thy husband, and he shall have what? The rule over you. Women are still suffering this one. He said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast what? Hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee not to eat, thou shalt not eat. I mean, thou shalt not eat of it. He said, what did he say? He said, cursed is what? You see, notice that God didn't curse man. He said, cursed is the ground. God didn't even curse the ground. He just said, from now, the ground is cursed because of you. It's not that I am cursing the ground. He said, the ground is cursed. And God never cursed Adam. God cannot curse whom he has blessed. He cannot. And if God can't curse you, then why do you think Satan is the one that will curse you and it will hold? If God himself that has blessed you, he himself can't curse you. He can't cancel what he has just put. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So how can Satan now curse you? How can your one woman in the village now curse you? Say, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Next verse. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Next verse. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou, this thou is plenty, shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife Eve and all that. Next verse. Next verse. Is there a next verse? Okay, now good. He said, and unto Adam also and to his wife did who? Lord God did what? Coats of skins and what? Clothed them. Some other fashion say covered them. Do you see God's stand in this matter? He didn't curse them, he covered them. He didn't curse them, he clothed them. And for him to even give them coats of animal skin, it means he shed animal's blood. Which is how sin has always been covered before Jesus came. So God has been saving man from day one, not killing man. But unfortunately, many people still approach him as if he's the one killing us. They still think God is going about punishing sin. He has, from day one, there's a lot of first mention in scripture. It's how you, part of ways you interpret the scripture. However this was handled is how God always handles sin. He helps man, not kills man. Any other thing outside of this is either a misconception, misinterpretation. Like when people quote scriptures that says, oh, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. That was somebody's opinion. That's not scripture. You go and read it. It wasn't that God give and God take. What kind of confusion is that? Somebody gets what I'm saying? This is the original idea. He told them, look, because you guys have done this thing, this ground is cursed for your sake. But he covered them up. And he also introduced something again, under blessing for them again, so that the blessing will now make rich and add no sorrow. It will reverse the curse on the ground. Somebody getting what I'm saying? So this is the idea. He said he killed animals for them, which in those days, he later introduced it officially, but this was him doing it for the first time, that the way you cover sin is by shedding blood. You see, when he introduced it officially, he told them to use a lamb and all that, and that's why they call Jesus the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Because they used to use lamb then to cover people's sin. So every year the priest would make sacrifice for everybody to cover their sins till next year. So the sins was covered year after year. That's what God showed them here from Genesis. He covered their sin. Before this time, they used leaf. It was leaf they used to cover. If you know anything about leaf, you know it does not last. I remember when I was in secondary school, I was one of the bad boys in secondary school. So, one time, soldiers were chasing us. I went to military school. So, and I'm among those that don't go to class. So, when we don't go to class, soldiers come sometimes to the dormitory and chase everybody into the bush. We all run to the bush. So, this faithful day, they came. We just resumed school 1 week. I didn't even go to school when school is properly on. How much more 1 week? You want me to go to class? I'm not going to class. I'm here to play. So, first week of school, of course, I was not going to class. Soldiers came to come and raid, chase us. We all ran to the bush. We were not plenty bad boys in the bush. Since we didn't have work, we now saw the fence, that there was a fence. We now said, let's break this fence so that we can be passing out of school. Because we normally go out of school, but we jump fence. But we say, this one, we don't have work. Let's make a cave, a door, so that we don't have to jump again. See, stupid ideas. So we broke the hole, round big hole like this. We now said, but how are we going to cover this hole so that people won't see it? Leaf, that's what it is. So one idiot amongst us said, let's use leaf. So we cut many leaf and plants and covered it. And it was covered that day. But just that, if you have any sense, you know that leaf is not going to last for one more than 1 day or so. So some days later, we were going to pass, me and one other bad boy, we were going to pass there to go to town. We now saw that the whole thing was open and visible. And by the time we came out, we saw that there was a guard waiting there outside. Because the concept is that whoever passed this place, you know how it opened. Because you can't just be mistakenly passing here. So they want, and those that, you know, they catch you, apart from other punishments, you are the one that will build the thing back. You pay for it. So as me and that guy just came out of the hole, we saw somebody say, welcome. He said, welcome. He said, where are you going? Ah, we say, we was making one story that we have. We're going somewhere, this. He said, okay. We're trying to form that. We have official exit to leave school. We pass this. You know, when you are, thief, if thief have sense, will he be thieving? If thief already have sense, he will go and do work now. For him to be stealing, he's already thieving in his mind. So the guy said, okay, so you have official, but you came to pass here. He said, okay. You know, me, I already knew that, the man, this thing's not going to end well. There's no happy ending to this story. Now, so I began to give the guy with me a signal that, oh boy, now run and get this thing. Because there's no way we're going to talk this guy out of carrying us to school. And nobody else break this thing. We plenty, we break this thing. But now the two of us didn't catch. Now, you know, you can't tell people that we are men. It doesn't work like that. So I was signaling the guy that, oh boy, move. You know, the guy apparently was not getting me. I said, okay. Maybe the best thing is to take off, then he will understand what I'm telling him since. The way I took off, my two slippers were still standing where I was standing, but my body had moved. I took off so fast, the guy himself was shocked. While he was yet looking at me, the guard gave me a punch on his eye. His eye swelled up like this. Big punch. Took off. Phew. Without slippers, that's how they go first tack. From Iyanakwaja. From Iyanakwaja, that's how they go first tack. Without slippers. My slippers is standing there till today. If you go and check, I'm sure it's still the place. There student, a great man. He's still there now, if you go and check. Praise God. I forgot what made him say that story. What was that story? I was saying. Leaves, thank you. Leaves. So basically, you can't depend on leaves to cover anything for long. You see, that was their own idea. Men always have an idea to cover their sin, but it never really works. Never works. God's idea is always better. He used blood and used animal skin that will last. Today we celebrate Louis Vuitton and all these people using leather to make money. The real person that started leather work. He's the one that showed us that leather can be cloth. He did animal skin and covered them. So God has been trying to save man and help man. You need to understand, it's easy to kill a baby if it's not your own. If it's your own, you won't kill it. Remember that those two women that came to Solomon? One of these, they both had babies overnight. One slept on a baby and the baby died. And she now exchanged the baby with her friend's own that was still alive. So they were now competing. It's my baby, it's not my baby. They came to King Solomon. Why is King Solomon? And he said, you know what? Since both of you are dragging, we're going to divide the two babies. We'll divide the dead one into two. We'll divide the living one into two. And the one that didn't own the baby said, yes, let's divide it. Solomon said, you are not the owner. The one that had the baby said, no, let her keep it. He said, anybody that really has a child will not kill the child. We'll rather allow that person to take the child than kill that child. So you see, the reason why you think God should kill other Christians and why God should kill other people is because they are not your people. You didn't make them. The person that made them doesn't want to kill them. He wants to forgive them. He wants to redeem them. He wants to repair them. He wants to restore them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Enter anywhere you see re, it means bring back to the normal place. Redeem, restore, repair. Are you here, somebody? God has always wanted. So that's why you can never see God as the punisher. He's not in his character at all. He's the redeemer, not the punisher. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So he said, we are blessed when God does not charge sin to our account. And the crazy thing, because I'm soon going to, I'll share two crazy things about this, then I'll close. Because this is just a short word. The crazy thing about his redemption plan, and this is the one that turns many religious people's head. God did not just forgive your sin of the past. Because that's what many people think. Many people think, oh, before I became born again, God forgave me all my sin. But now that I'm born again, I'm paying for the ones that I'm committing now. Look, whether past or present or future, you can't pay for anyone. I get what I'm saying? You don't have enough credit in your account to pay. The wages of sin is death. That's the only wage of sin. And you can't pay. You can't pay and still be here telling us that you paid. That's the point. If you're going to pay, then you're going to die. Die doesn't mean just die. Die doesn't mean just stop breathing. Die means stop existing. So God didn't only pay for, didn't only get his son to pay for your sins of the past. He didn't get his sons to pay for only your sin of the present. He also paid for the one of the future. In fact, let me say this way. When God paid, because he paid in advance, when he paid for your sins, this your future, this your past sins was future. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. When he paid, you were never even born. So you have never committed a sin. But they said, any sin, anything called sin that the devil will ever commit, today we are paying. They have never given back to you that time. I mean, who does that? Just pay till we have paid down. Whatever you will ever do. Are you here, somebody? Whatever he will ever do. We have paid for all of it. It's you that you are in time. So for you, you are counting past, present, and future. From their own account. Everything was future at the time they paid. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Because people find it hard to believe that, oh, now that I'm a Christian, God has forgiven me. They think that, oh, it's the one when I was not born again, God forgave me. But the ones I'm doing now as a Christian, they are holding my neck. All of it was future. At the time they paid it, all of it was future. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Somebody said, but doesn't that mean I can just do anything I want to do? You see, this is what God is banking on. He's banking on the fact that when he shows you love, you would understand that sin kills. Now, how many of you think if Adam had a chance to do it all over again, he would still go and eat the fruit? How many of you think so? He has suffered. It is sin that punishes, not God. Sin has consequences. It's not God punishing you. God is trying to save you. Sin is punishing you by itself. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Sin punishes. If you steal here, and you are caught, you will go to prison. Has nothing to do with God. You will still be a born-again Christian in prison. That's what is going to happen. Your reputation will be spoiled. God won't change that. You'll be a born-again Christian without reputation. Which will limit the things you can do on the earth. And if you get what I'm saying. You will introduce sicknesses into your life. Why are marriages failing so much? Go and check. More and more, we are deviating from God's original plan. Go and check it. I'm a marriage counselor of 20-something years. 99.9% of people struggling in their marriages, the foundations were not even right from beginning. It wasn't God's design that they're following. They'll say, I was counseling somebody some days ago. I think it was even yesterday. Do we have guitar? Do we have box guitar? All these guitars, they are connected to wire. So you can't bring them here. You can't bring it here. Abi. Is it really drama to bring it? If it's easy, bring it. If it's easy, oh. If it's drama, don't worry. So this person I was counseling is a musician. Plays good music, very good music. So she was upset and worried and worried. I asked her a question. Bring it. You play guitar too, Abi? You play guitar for me. Don't you play guitar? Why are you looking in the back now? Can't press with this one. Don't you play guitar? Why can't they fear now? You think I'm asking somebody else? Why do you fear? You don't even know what I want to say. Well, people, I was afraid. Adam. You never even know what I want to talk. Hold the mic. Is this how they hold? Am I holding it? Am I holding it well?
Yes.
Is this how they hold it?
Yes.
Eh?
Except if you strap it, then. But this
how... Put mic. Okay. This is how they hold it. Who is laughing? You didn't wait to make I talk. Don't laugh. You know, people, I don't believe in you. Who told you I can't play? Who told you? Okay, guys. This example will make sense because most of you know me. People that don't know me, it will make sense. But if you know me, what are the chances? Wait now. What are the chances that I'll play good music with this guitar? Eh? Zero. I don't even know how they hold it. Zero. Zero. So I was telling that lady, because she's a musician, I said, did you do any counseling? When we're getting into marriage? No. Did you prepare yourself in any way? She said, not really. I said, what are the chances you'll succeed in marriage? That's the same way if I pick up this thing, I've never learned it. Nobody ever taught me. What are the chances I'll play good music from this? Zero. If it works, it's purely by luck. Thank you. You can go back. Zero. So there are principles in God's word, but we never follow it. And a lot of times we even inherit problems from parents that also didn't do well and inherited from parents that also inherited from parents. So a lot of problems I leave myself is before you. Mindset. Issues we are dealing with. There's some people I'm canceling. I said, why do you want to marry next month? No reason. Some people I'm canceling them. Church wedding is 1 year after. But don't do traditional today. I said, why? Why can't you wait and do everything and do proper counseling? No reason. You're rushing in. You rush out. Have you done counseling? Are you involving in premarital sex? You see, there are standards in scripture, but we dodge everything. Then when he fails, we are now shocked. We're acting genuinely surprised. That's the part that makes me laugh. Genuinely, we are surprised. What's surprising you? Did you follow everything they say you should do? No, we did not. So how are you going to succeed? Somebody getting what I'm saying? We need to, you know, line up with what God has in mind. So that's what I'm saying. Sin's consequence, sin punishes you here by itself. Every time you, and God is constantly trying to save, constantly trying to redeem, constantly trying to cover up, so he's trying to help. But there's always a limit to what he can do if you keep doing the wrong things. They say, look left, right, left again before you cross, Abby. You ignore it, you cross, car hits you. God can save you. You can survive. But whether all your bone will be back how it was, you see, before the accident. We don't know. Am I correct? We don't know. There's nothing I can do about that. If trailer jam you, God can restore, repair, redeem. But you will never be the same again. You will never be what? The same again. You can't be the same again. Trailer jam. You can't. So you now say, oh, I was crossing. Trailer jam is God that punished me for not looking left and right. No. The whole idea of looking left, right, and left again is to save you from the trailer. God didn't bring the trailer. Trailer was already coming. God was saying, if you look, you will see that it's coming. But you say, I don't want to look. And when I didn't look, God now jammed me with trailer. No. That's what people are always thinking. That when they disobeyed God, God punished them. No, it was the sin. If your disobedience put you in harm's way, God is not the harm. Because people ask me, oh, is it because I didn't do this thing that God, that the relationship didn't work? Is it because I didn't obey God that the marriage didn't work? No, the marriage didn't work because the principles you broke is what broke the marriage. Not that God said, you didn't take my principles, so I'll carry a stick and come and break your marriage for you. He's not destroying things. He's redeeming things. I get what I'm saying. Nobody destroys their own. You can't build something and just destroy it. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So you need to understand the context. Don't ever feel there's deficit between you and God. Many people always approach God like they are owing God. They are not good enough for God. And this is why people can't pray confidently, because they think they are beneath God's standard. They are beneath God's level. No, you don't. There's no deficit. Do you understand? You are right before God. That's what righteousness is. You have 100% right standing. No deficits at all. You are not owing, no charge. I'll round up with this part. So, if you look at Romans, there are one or two scriptures I want to read. That's why the strongest prayers you can pray in scriptures is for God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Is enlightenment, for you to really know the things that are freely your own. So it pains me when I see Christians begging God. It shows they don't understand. They are begging God, so God, do something. What you need to pray about is the prayer God, and Paul encouraged Christians to pray in Ephesians 1, from verse 17, that he will grant us, you know, spirit of wisdom. Read, you bring it up. Ephesians 1 from 17. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? Spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. He says that the eyes of our understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know what is what? The hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is the kind of prayers you must be praying every day, that you grow in that knowledge. Next verse. It says, and what is the exceeding what? Greatness of whose power? His power. So you understand the greatness of his power available to us who what? Believe. According to the working of his what? Mighty power. Next verse. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the... That means, let me understand the real power of what... And you know, on the surface, we just think, oh, Jesus died, he raised him from the dead. If you know what happened, if you know what it means, you understand why you need to constantly pray for your eyes to be open. He said, let's know when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in what? Heavenly place. I'll come back to this verse. Go on. He said, far above what? All principality, all power, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world. Now, this is Jesus they're talking about. Next verse. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and his right hand, and had put all things what? Under his feet. And gave him power to be head over what? All things to the church. Next verse. He said, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth on law. Next verse. Good. Hope you know the Bible is not written in chapter and verses. We know that, Abby. Hope we know that, Abby. All right. It's human beings that put chapter and verses so that we can find things. So this letter continued from here. He said, and, you can see I started with and, it shows that it's a continuation. Say, and you had he what? Quickened. Who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. He said, you had he quickened. Quickened means giving new life. Next verse. He says, and which he wrought in Christ. That's what I'm reading. I'm reading the writing. No. He said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that walks in Jerusalem. Next verse. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in time past, living by lust and all these things. Next verse. It says, but God, hallelujah, but God, who is what? Rich in mercy. Not rich in judgment, rich in what? Mercy. He said, for his great love. Do you see? Wherewith he loved us. Next verse. He said, even when we were dead in sins, he did what? Quickened us together. Next verse. And has raised us up what? Together. And made us do what? Sit together. Where? So all those things they described in chapter 1. About Christ being above all principality and power. About Christ being above every name that is named. They said you all the while were sitting together with him. This is why if you're a believer, you need to know the difference between Christianity and other religions. Because many Christians think we're all having the same God. No. We don't hate anybody, but that's not the truth. Every religion differentiates between God and people. The people are the servants. God is God. It's only in Christianity that God is trying to bring the people to his own level. You don't understand. God is elevating the people that were dead in sins. He's elevating them to his own level. We are not sitting under Christ. We are sitting with Christ. We are joint heirs. It's like you having a dog and you elevate the dog to human status. So it's no more your Scooby bingo. It's no more your dog that eats on the ground. It's no more your dog that if he wants to use the bathroom, you take it outside. You have elevated this dog. This dog will sit on the table with you. This dog will use the same bathroom you use. That's what they're saying. We were nothing before God, but he elevates us. No other religion does that. To say, I want to be one with you. That's a big deal. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Let me round up. There are so many aspects to this, but no time today. Let me just round up with this. I have a few scriptures I'll read. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. I'll read that and I'll read one or two more. Let's just try and tie it up somewhere because there are so many parts. It said, now we have received not what? The spirit of the world. But the spirit which is what? Of God. That we might do what? Know the things which are what? Freely given to us. These are the things you should be praying about. To understand who you really are. When you understand that, you won't think that somebody else has a clearer line to God. You know, we all still have that beggarly mindset that if somebody prays for me, how can you think if somebody prays for you to go faster? That means you are totally ignoring your own express road. You two have a direct line. You are not beneath. You are together with Christ. You are sitting on that table and you are still asking somebody to ask for you. One more scripture. No deficit. Do you understand? No deficit between you and God. Nothing. Before there are many scriptures I want to read, but I don't have time to read. Even in that Ephesians. Before there was enmity between man and God. Man and God felt they couldn't relate. Man felt they were too far from God. God bridged all that gap. He brought us near by the blood of Christ. We are not far again from him. We are not slaves anymore. Fine, let me read that one and then we'll close from there. Romans 8, verse 14. From verse 14 to 17, I think. Romans 8, let's see. There are so many things I want to read. Good. He said, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. As many. There's no superiority or inferiority. No, you approach God without any sense of inferiority. You don't feel like, hey, Shanumi, I beg. This is why there's nowhere in scripture where God says, beg me. Nowhere like that. He's embarrassed when you beg him. Everywhere in scripture you hear, ask. In fact, that word ask, they say demand. Of course, it's not from a place of pride. It's just, I don't know. My children don't beg me for food. They ask for their food. I don't know if you get somebody can understand what I'm saying. They don't beg me to take them to school. They don't beg me to do things for them. They ask. It's their right to ask. There's nowhere you beg. Some people even beg men to beg God. I cast out every spirit of begging. That's why if God won't have you beg him, that's why he finds it strange when you're begging on that human being. One boy says, don't marry you again. You now start begging. Shows you don't have spiritual dignity. God Almighty. Do you understand? The Almighty God. He not only created heaven and earth, he owns it. He doesn't need you to beg him. Then a human being, one boy, born boy, say he's not marrying again or he's not dating you again and you are begging. What are you begging? Begging that what? Because you will stop breathing if he doesn't agree. You will choke. If he doesn't agree. You must be kidding. Look at this. He said, for as many as they are sons of God. Next verse. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Are you here, somebody? Give me this in NIV. Let me see. I'm looking for something. Give me NIV if you can. DJ fast. Yes, yes. He said, the spirit you received does not make you what? Slaves. We are not God's slaves. You don't understand. No deficit. We are not rubbing shoulders with him, but it's like your children. Where there's a loving, my children jump on my bed. When there's a loving environment, you know, most of us didn't grow in that environment. In this environment, your father is like your, if you horn, you dive on that bed, you know. When your father comes home, you see how, to show how abused most of us are coming from, when your father comes home, the aim is to avoid him as much as possible. Not to approach him, so avoid him. So if he's entering here, you enter here. Because if two of them are two stay together, next thing you'll begin to say, have you done your homework? Why are you walking about like this? Why is this place dirty? Am I correct? Most of us that grow is our moms. So the aim, when he comes home, is to avoid him. If you enter parlor, you enter room. If you enter room, you come up a parlor. Because he will soon find work for you. If you litter too much, he will send you something. Or find one thing he needs to beat you from last week when you forget. So when we have this mentality, we approach our Heavenly Father like that. We think that's how you press. Those of us that are now raising our new generation of children, that are raising them, but you find out that your children are absolutely free with you. When you come, they take your phone, take your tap, jump on your bed. Now you go to drive and say, my brother, move to your room. Are you here, somebody? They will hijack all your things. So he said, the spirit you received does not make you what? Slaves. So that you live in what? Fear again. You don't live in fear. No deficit. No, oh, is God punishing me? God is not answering me because I did something. No, no, no fear. He says, rather, the spirit you received brought about your what? Adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry what? Abba, Father. Abba is a nickname for a father. It's like when you say papo, papi. It means father, but it's not a word you use officially. See, it's a word you use unofficially among people that have a cordial relationship. Abba, Father. Somebody getting this? Spirit of adoption that now makes us God's children. Hallelujah. Let me see the next verse. I don't know if the next verse is part of it. Look at this. It said, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are what? God's children. Testifies in our spirit that we are God's children. Let me see if the next verse, or is it? I think I'm not. Okay, yes, this is it. He said, now, if we are what? Children. Then we are what? Heirs. Heirs of God and what? Co-heirs with Christ. Do you understand this? It's only in Christianity they elevate you to the level of the same level where God is. Every other person is pushing you down. This one, they say you are co-heirs with Christ. Do you understand? We are like Christ's brothers. Nobody will give you that. No religion will give you that. We're like Christ's brothers. That's why when I was going, he said, you will do the works that I do. He said, in short, you will do greater works. Nobody gives you that. Co-heirs. Co-heirs mean we jointly own our father's property. Everything Jesus has, you have. Co-heirs with Christ. He said, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in other words, we also share in what? His glory. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting this? Is this exciting news? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you see why you are blessed. You are not begging God. He didn't say beg, say ask. Glory to God. Can we rise to our feet? This is just great news. Hallelujah. Never approach God like there's deficit. Never approach God like you are ashamed. Never approach God like he's somebody with a big stick trying to hurt you. He loves you. Always trying to redeem, repair, restore all your mistakes. Forgive yourself. Forgive those that have hurt you. And enjoy God's love. Mande bosata. Ika brodasa kata. Rotasa. Let's pray that prayer that Paul prayed. Lord, that you will grant us. DJ, put that up. Put the prayers up. You will grant us. Put the whole thing together if you can in one post. You will grant us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Ayayaya. Zubradasata. We want to know the things that are freely given to us. Mahanere kebos. Rita bakalasata. Oh, my brother, can you start from verse 17? Is it too long to put in one script? Can't you munch it to a lower, smaller font so that we can pray together? This is a prayer you must pray every day as a believer. These are more useful prayers than begging God to do something. Better to know what he has already given you than to beg him to do something. So I pray for you that the Lord of our, the Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you or to me, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Mandebosaka, in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand. Go ahead and pray for yourself this evening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will understand my place. I will understand more and more the relationship we have. I will understand more the power that is available. Zibroda sakada. Limbroda sakandeli sota. Brade kasata lalabama bratas. Rita paliata zota baratas. Ikaba bratasata. Ruzata bratasata. Mandale kaboratasata. Zimanere nebo sakata. Shipaliata zata. Thank you, Lord. Sake borata sete. Rusata ba yegede. Zimandele ke borata sata. Zuzumariata zata borata sita. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Imonda la kasata. Mandebo sakata. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we ask that our eyes be opened and enlightened to understand the full meaning of the death and resurrection of your Son. To understand fully the richness of your mercy towards us. To understand all the things that you have freely given unto us. We will not be among those that we beg for what is our right. We understand that there's no deficit between us and you. We have that gift of righteousness given to us freely by you. We thank you because for everything we have lost, everything we have misplaced, you are a redeemer, You are a restorer. You are a repairer. Thank you, Lord, for you are working in our hearts and in our lives, redeeming and repairing and restoring whatever has been lost, whatever has been broken. Thank you, Father. We receive it tonight, and we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Come on, celebrate Him, celebrate Him, celebrate Him. Woo!
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.